And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. This segment of our program, we introduce you to local and regional entrepreneurs who have created a business, and they get to tell their stories about how they've been successful. And in the process, you get some insights into things that you may not have known that would be useful for you. My guest today is a client of mine, Susan Graham. I wanted to kick off our conversation by having you share with the listeners the thumbnail sketch of who you are and what you do.
My business is called Senior Edge Legal. It's a law firm that specializes in representing people who are retired or anticipating retirement to help them set up their estate plan. Focus for most people's estate plan is to be sure that they stay as independent as possible for the rest of their lives and protect their family and their assets.
Estate planning is one of those things that most people think of, oh, that must mean getting a will or having a living will. But I think it's a bit more complex than that. What are some of the pitfalls of having an improperly engineered estate?
One of the biggest problems for people when they don't set up an estate plan properly, they lose the power to decide who's going to manage their affairs. And so that's really important to focus on who are the right people for that. Because if you get the wrong one when it comes to paying your bills after you're gone, it doesn't always happen the correct way. Money is lost and it creates a lot of animosity among family members. So by having a proper plan in place, then you really cut down on the fights among the family because they know exactly what you want and it's clearly defined. What the law says in Idaho is if you have no estate plan in place, so long as you have less than $100,000 or you have no real property, then we don't have to probate that estate. But still, who's going to get that? That's your legacy, what you've worked a lifetime for. So you want to be sure it goes to the right people.
And is just having a will good enough?
Well, a will help a great deal because it will say who you want to have be in charge and who gets your property. But the shortcoming to a will is that it's required that it go through a probate process, meaning that you file that will with the court. It becomes a public document. Mm. There are a whole series of formal steps that have to occur before the property is finally distributed out.
What kind of trouble can someone get into if they just go online and they buy a will in a box from the internet and try to do it themselves?
First of all, they may think they know what they want, but they haven't often really thought that through. Because you have to, first of all, say, who's going to be your agent? Who's going to handle things when you're gone? And who's an alternate? And it's helpful to have a conversation with a professional so you're clear about the abilities of the person that you're selecting. Then when it comes to distributing your assets, there are a whole series of things to consider. One of them is, if you have a young person who inherits from you, they get that money the day they hit age 18, unless you've made some special provisions. And most 18-year-olds are idiots. They don't know what to do with the money. There are studies that say they don't really figure it out until their late 20s. So it's a disservice to have someone who's really young inherit a lot of money. Let's say you have a 13-year-old get money. Who's going to manage it for them until they even reach the age of 18? Mm. Oftentimes, the money disappears, so there's nothing there for them. So there are a lot of questions that you need to address to properly set up an estate plan using a will.
So the proper estate plan is going to anticipate the challenges that could occur and create provisions that direct what happens when you pass.
That's correct. You want to be really clear about who gets your property, in what conditions, if you want to put limits on it, what if they predecease you, who's going to be in charge. So all of those issues need to be addressed. If you don't do it properly, then all you've done is throw that into the court system and for there to be a fight among the different family members.
The person who wins there, I'm guessing, is probably the attorneys who represent
absolutely.
Each family member.
Absolutely. You're talking about significant sums of money being paid to the attorney.
Is there an age you should go get an estate plan? At what point should you have one?
As soon as you turn age 18, you have the power to sign a will or set up an estate plan. Normally, the people that I see that do it are certainly people in retirement and those anticipating retirement. That's very common. Also, it's really helpful for younger families to step forward and set up an estate plan. The most important thing for them is who's going to be the caregiver, who's going to be the guardian for their children if something happens to them. And maybe they don't have a lot of money, but they might have life insurance, and they want to be sure that that's handled properly for those kids so that they grow up with as much security as possible.
Because I'm guessing it's pretty easy for life insurance money to go to administrative costs as opposed to the actual child if it's not managed well.
Oh, absolutely. So if you have a $100,000 life insurance policy and you say, I name my spouse as the beneficiary and my child as a contingent beneficiary, and you die, you and your spouse die in a car wreck, that three-year-old has $100,000. But again, how is it going to be managed and will it really be there for them when they get to be age 18?
So who decides that if there isn't an estate plan?
What happens is you go to court and the court appoints someone to administer the money. It's going to be the court-appointed guardian for that child. Mm. That's most common. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's an independent person who's appointed to do that. What's happened is if the guardian manages the money, they have to report to the court what they're doing with it. But what I've seen happen too many times is that person steals the money from the child. Mm. Then the court has an order saying, give the money back. But the people who steal the money don't have the money to give it
back. It's gone. So I'm guessing there's no age too young.
No.
As soon as you're 18, you ought to have some kind of plan in place.
If you have anything in the way of assets, yes. And certainly when you have minor children, it's critical that you get started having an estate plan.
If we have a listener who has a current estate plan, but they haven't looked at it recently, how frequently should it be revisited?
Kind of depends on the age of that person. I say at least every 5 years. The reason I say to look at your estate plan in that time period is the law changes, your health can change, your money and your relationship with people change. That just happens just by living. So it's helpful to relook at them at least every 5 years to see if any of those events have made you want to shift your plan.
What would you say, Susan, is the biggest challenge that most people face in just taking the plunge and getting it set up? Because I think we all have these good intentions, and then it never happens until maybe it's even too late.
The vast majority of people just ignore it. They just put a bag over their head and say, well, I'll get to it someday, or it's not really important now. Then when a crisis occurs, an accident, a death, a serious illness, then it just becomes very expensive, time-consuming to have to address those issues. So I encourage everyone to seriously consider and actually put in place an estate plan. Don't just talk about it.
Full disclosure here, I'm also a client of Susan's. What I was really impressed with was she was able to help us put a plan in place within 3 weeks.
In our office, what we do is we sit down and talk with people, and if they decide they want to put a plan in place using our help, we give them what we call a little homework, get us some information about their affairs, their accounts, the names and addresses and phone numbers of people they're going to rely on. We have the documents for them to sign within 2 weeks after we decide to go forward. Many families want to set up an inheritance for their children that's protected. What I'm talking about is if that child gets a divorce, we don't want the spouse to walk away with the money. We want that money to stay in that child's hands. Or if the child has a car accident and gets sued for a lot of money, we don't want the lawsuit to take the money that they've inherited. Or if they have bad financial reversals and end up in bankruptcy, we want to protect that money. Instead of giving the money outright to your children when you die, it's going to go into an irrevocable trust that we call an asset protection trust. They manage the money, use it however they want. But again, if there's a divorce or a lawsuit or bankruptcy, nobody can take that money. And then when they're gone, that share is going to go down to their children and continue on with those protections for the future.
So I'm guessing we may have a listener or two out there who's thinking, yeah, I don't have anything like that in place, and it sounds like maybe I should. Give your contact information in case somebody'd like to reach out to you.
Certainly. My phone number is 208-344-0375. Or you can go to my website, which is www.senioredgelegal.com. Or you can send us an email at info@senioredgelegal.com.
Susan Graham, thank you so much for being a guest today. We'll be back with the next segment of the Sandler Training Hour just after this.